Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, listeners. If you're hearing this, I'm going to assume you're at least interested in money and understanding the economy and finances. And some of us want our kids to have that knowledge, too. Check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. You can learn more at greenlight.com/million. And tune in to Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcast.
There we go. There we go. Nick O time, baby. That's what deadlines are for.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kimberly Adams. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. It is Friday, April the 12th.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. It's good to be back. I had a week off, college visits, East Coast. Thanks for joining us on the podcast, the YouTube live stream Friday, as I said, and as Kimberly said, so we'll say it one more time, it's Friday. Weekly happy hour, economics on tap is what we do. I'm totally sober, by the way, stone cold sober.
Well, I mean, that leads us to the next point, which is because it's Friday, we're going to do news, we're going to take a break, play a game. But before that, what are you drinking?
I'm, you know, it's funny. I was all set to have a beer this morning. Now, not this morning. but now I'm not in the mood now. You know how sometimes you're just not in the mood for a drink?
Yeah.
And I just, I'm having a glass of water.
You know. No, yeah. That's very good. Yeah. Very good to pace yourself. I spent like almost an hour making this cocktail today.
Wow.
So this is a Borage. I don't know how to actually say it. Borage Fizz, which one of the few flowers, plants that is actually flowering at this point in my garden is my white borage. And some of the flowers are white, some of them are blue, and apparently you can make a cocktail with it. And so I used the borage leaves to make simple syrup as a base and also the flowers. Oh my God. And then it's got the borage simple syrup, it's got white rum. It's basically like a mojito, but instead of mint, it uses borage leaves, and it's got lime, and then these are the little flowers. I don't know if you can see the flowers from the borage.
I can. What does borage taste like?
It's got a kind of cucumbery vibe to it. The leaves are really like prickly. And so I haven't eaten it much, but the pollinators love it. So I keep growing it. So.
Oh, yeah. What's the weather there? I'm just thinking cucumber to me, a light cucumber drink cocktail sort of says summer, spring. Well, what's the weather in D.C.?
It was pretty warm and sunny today. And yeah, this definitely has a very like...
There you go.
Cucumbery minty flavor. It's quite delicious, I must say.
Good, mm-hmm. Good. There is a lot going on in the chat. Barbara Monaghan is having a Sauvignon Blanc from South Africa. Let's see. JP Aranda is having iced cocoa with Trader Joe's peppermint wine cocktail. So you go.
Okay.
Let's see. Mike Marsh is having a Lost Abbey Judgment Day
peppermint
quadruple.
Wine cocktail?
Well, let's see. Iced cocoa with Trader Joe's peppermint wine cocktail. Look, don't judge. You know.
Joe's peppermint wine cocktail. Okay. I need to learn more of this. Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
There you go. There was just a lot. There's let's see, white Merlot, whatever that is. I guess that's Merlot grapes with the skins are gone. Paloma with tequila ocho for Alejandro Perez-Jones. Let's see. Stone Cold Sober is a great name for an IPA, Matthew Carroll. Yes. That'd be funny, actually.
For the people in the chat saying that I'm so creative, I am not. I got this recipe off the internet. I looked for borage cocktails, and this came up. And there's a link to it in the Make Me Smart newsletter because I did not come up with this cocktail. But over on the Discord, Tyler is having a glass of slightly undercarbonated yet still delicious Belgian triple style homebrew.
Oh, there you go.
And it looks very nice. Rachel's having a diet soda, although she had a bubble tea earlier, but she finished it. So lots of interesting drinks today. Tamara's drinking cheap really Moscato are. In the back of my pantry. Love it.
Nice. Trogs Graffiti Highway Double IPA from Raphael Seward. Sorry, I'm just going to do two more. Wait, there was another one.
Yeah.
Mike Madonna having a heady topper. That's a good beer. All right, I'm done now with the beer. Mm.
What's your news?
So we're turning into, well, we're not. We're already in it. And look, I will try not to be too political in the next number of months, but some of it just kind of has to be talked about. But that's not really what I'm talking about today. But I kind of am. Interesting piece in the New York Times today about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and how she has now, for the first time in her almost 6 years in Congress, given money to a key. The headline is Ocasio-Cortez never steered money to a key arm of her party until now. She has given to the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee for the first time ever. She gave $250,000, $260,000, which is not nothing. But it's really a discussion of her feeling now. And look, she's tremendously influential after going on three terms now in Congress. And it's her perception of where the party is and what the progressive arm of that party has been able to do policy-wise, what it's been able to do in leadership changes. She very specifically says, we've changed the leadership. Pelosi is gone now. Steny Hoyer has moved to, I guess he's chairing appropriations or something. He's stepped aside from leadership. So it's just an interesting moment on where the progressive arm of the Democratic Party is. And it is feeling its power. I guess that's where I am. It is feeling its power as demonstrated by money.
This whole thing about the congressional campaign committees and the amount of time and energy that members of Congress have to spend raising money, and they have like those people come after them for the money. Like
there are like dues. You have to pay dues to congressional committees. It's wild.
Yes. And it ties into the kind of like committee assignments that you can get. Mm-hmm. It ties into, you know, whether or what the party is going to do for you on the campaign trail when you're running. And it's such a, you know, kind of delicate balance of, you know, the work you need to be doing for your constituents, the work you have to do to fundraise in order to keep your job. And then you're fundraising not just for yourself, but you're effectively fundraising for the party so the party can reallocate some of those resources to other more vulnerable Democrats. That's basically what it's for, because AOC is probably reasonably safe in her seat. Most of that money is going to end up going to people in a lot more trouble. It's such a fascinating process.
It's totally wild. Just to correct a contextual thing here in the chat, Jennifer Flippin Pierce says, didn't she famously talk about how she could not afford an apartment in D.C. when she was first elected? That is true. And Congress people make what, 175-ish? But all this money is from her political action committee, which is not her money, but it's money that she and her apparatus have raised. Right. So it's donor money. To her,
yeah. So she can't use it for rent anyway.
Super PAC, right? She can't use it for rent. Is the point? Yeah. Just so we're all clear on that. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. I've got two. One newsy. One fun. Very interesting story in Vox that Tony Wagner, who's in the chat, representing the newsletter today, was saying he'd noticed as well. But the headline is "The Rise of the Scammy Car Loan," and it's talking about people paying just unbelievable amounts of money for cars and people taking loans for $84,000 for a car, and even people with really low credit getting loans for BMWs and Mercedes and these really expensive cars where they can't get a loan for a cheaper car, but they can get a loan for these very expensive cars, but they're at ridiculous interests. And there's no like cap on the interest that you can be charged. And it's wild. I'm just going to read here. A 2021 Consumer Reports investigation found that a lack of federal interest rate limit combined with a complicated patchwork of state laws leaves consumers vulnerable to being preyed upon by shady lenders. The investigation begins with an anecdote about a man who received disability payments from the Social Security Administration. He received a loan for a Jaguar with an astounding annual percentage rate of 75%. I don't know APRs. I don't know nothing about that, the man told Consumer Reports. I'm just trying to go in there and get the car. And the publication found the lenders often lend money to people with poor credits, sometimes at higher rates, with the aim of collecting the high interest, then repossessing the vehicle when the people obviously inevitably default on their loans. It's astonishing. The FTC has announced a new rule aimed at cracking down on some of the deceptive auto lending and sales practices, but auto debt has reached a record high of $1.61 trillion last year. Right. And wow.
And wow. And we should note that auto loan defaults are rising in part because of this, but, you know, in part for a bunch of other stuff too.
Yeah.
All right. So that's your David that's your newsy one.
Chat, David said in the chat, "Who's issuing the loan? The mafia." My fun one is related to the eclipse, which I wish I had seen earlier on Eclipse Day. But it's an article in CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Company, from their show Day Six. And it says, decades later, Bonnie Tyler still finds new fans for her hit song, Every Total Eclipse. And it's about how Bonnie Tyler, who sang Total Eclipse of the Heart, basically gets a flood of new, like, attention and streams and things every time there's an eclipse. So it says, every time there's an eclipse, Bonnie Tyler's phone rings off the hook. My emails are coming in fast and furious every time there's an eclipse, she told the Day 6 host. And that's because the Welsh singer must have the best tune to listen to in the run-up to Celestial Adventures. I just thought that was fun. Love that song. It's so great. Yes. What were you going to say?
All right. I was actually going to say, and look, I didn't go see the eclipse either. I'm a little surprised that you didn't.
Didn't what?
Go to see the eclipse, like in totality.
So I was in St. Louis in 2017 for that one and got see and have the whole experience.
Okay.
And so
then, yes. Good.
All yeah. Right. I'm yeah.
Just because I, you know, I'm an old farty dude, but you're, you know, an adventurous person who I could totally see doing that. So it's it's very cool that you did. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's yeah. And I got lots to do. All righty then.
We're going to go. Quick break is what we're going to do. And then half full, half empty when we come back, which we will do in a second.
Which we will do.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.
Someone said they would fly to DC to hear me sing Total Eclipse of the Heart at karaoke.
Look, I'm telling you, we got fundraising coming up. I'm just saying, don't volunteer yourself too much.
Oh, gosh.
I guess you didn't. I guess I just did. Surprise.
Thanks, I guess. All right, we're back, and now it's time to play Half Full, Half Empty, which is hosted by the very musical Drew Drostad. Take it away, Drew.
All right, are you half full or half empty on employers using psychometric tests in hiring?
Oh, this was a piece that Megan McCarty-Carino did for the show earlier this week. About how AI now is going to play more of a role in these psychometric tests, which are tests of, you know, fit and all that jazz, sort of the intangibles. I honestly, I'm a little troubled by it, so I'm going to go half empty. I think it just gets a little too squishy, pardon me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Half empty because the technology has the baked-in biases of regular people. Mm-hmm. But is that any worse than a regular person being biased against you in an interview?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question. Edward Martinelli in the chat, as a psychologist, it really concerns me. Really. So, you know, that's the expert in the room.
There you go. There you,
there
go.
You go.
All right, what's next?
Next story comes from The New Yorker, where they profiled a couple that run a company called Dumb Wireless that offers things like light phones and other non-smartphones. Are you half full or half empty on a dumb phone boom?
Huh.
Half full.
All right, I'll go. Oh, there we go. We had the same thought at the same time. Go ahead.
Yeah, half full. I mean, my thumb hurts right now, and it's been hurting for a week. And I know it is because I use my phone too much, and I have been actively trying to swipe less and use my other hand and, you know, do my little exercises and things, but it's too much time on the phone, and I want to spend more time with people. So, yes, half full on the dumb phone.
Yeah, I'm half full as well. Kashmir Hill, who writes for the New York Times on technology and humanity, I guess, had a piece about this and what it has done to her life to get a dumb phone. And basically, it has changed her life. And she's way less, you know, head down now in the phone and much more aware. So, yeah. Although, to be clear, I'm not giving up my smartphone, but I'm pro dumb phones. How about that? Right?
Oh, Tyler from Madison in Discord says, I really want a dumb TV, but couldn't find a new one when I needed it a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, no.
That's why I haven't replaced my TV, because I don't want a TV with a camera in it.
Yep.
You know, smart
TVs.
Other things.
No such thing as a dumb TV anymore. You can't buy one. Totally.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
Okay, a new rule from the Federal Communications Commission requires broadband facts from ISPs to be displayed like nutrition labels showing prices, speeds, and installation fees. Are you half full or half empty?
Half full on the intent, half empty on the implementation, because the ISPs are already trying to find ways around it. So,
yeah, they're already kind of trying to hide that data that they have to now sort of disclose. I'm exactly what Kimberly said. I half full on the idea, but the implementation will not really work, truly. Which is kind of drag.
Boo. All right, what's next?
Next one, apparently the logo for Columbia Sportswear was featured on the Lunar Lander from Intuitive Machines. Are you half full or half empty on advertising in space?
Seriously?
I had not heard story. Of that. I think it's inevitable. This is in all the sci-fi movies about the ads on spaceships. And I mean, every time SpaceX does something that's giant branding, Virgin Galactic, I mean, it's not like we haven't had it. Let's see. I'm going to go half full. Let's fund it however we can.
I think that's fair. Yeah. In Columbia's case, sorry, I'm just reading the article that is on our website that we put up there. In Columbia's case, part of Intuitive Machines' lunar lander was layered with patented material called OmniHeat, which can be found in their bulkier coats and was said to be protecting the lander from extreme temperatures in space, according to the company's promotional web campaign. Whether that's actually true or not, that's why they did it. I guess I'm full. I guess I'm half full. I mean, we got to pay for it. It's expensive and we need more of it. So, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's fine.
I'll take it.
All right.
Is this the last one?
Correct.
All right.
Let us get ready for the poll.
All right. This story comes from the Associated Press. As some people are reevaluating their relationship with work post-pandemic, are you half full or half empty on adult gap years?
Was there news of that this week, Drew?
I don't think there's anything newsy. It's just kind of a profile of a handful of people who have been exploring sabbaticals of different kinds.
I have heard more and more people doing like sabbaticals or quasi sabbaticals or, you know, kind of taking reset moments. I mean, that's what fellowships are for in journalism. There's a lot of people who will take time off to do these fellowships to kind of like reevaluate their career and do some deep thinking and, you know, course correct or whatever. I also saw an article this week about some cruise line, it may even be Virgin Atlantic, I'm not sure, that said they're basically offering month-long cruises for remote workers, where if you have remote work option, you can work from the cruise ship and travel around while you do it. And it's like $5,000 or something like that. And let me find this. Let's see. But yeah.
All right, you look that up. I'll add this comment from listener Bridget Bodner in the Slack. She says it's like family leave but without the newborn, which is a pretty good way of saying it, that, right? I mean, I kind of get that.
Here it is. Yeah, it is Virgin month-long cruise for remote workers in the Mediterranean.
Boy, there's lots of comments on this in the chat. Carl Cormier, 5 months off from practicing law to volunteer at school and travel with family.
Nice.
Yeah. Let's see.
So it says, I'm not getting no work done on a cruise, LOL.
Althea McMurray says, I've done a full month from work, so there's that. Very interesting. Lots of comments on this one.
All right, so where are you on this? I think a lot of people wish they could.
Yeah,
but,
totally.
I'm half full. I mean, I would love for everyone to be able to rest and rejuvenate and have the flexibility to do something meaningful for themselves while they kind of take a moment in their career. But I don't necessarily think that's going to happen for the vast majority of people. But I will be wistfully half full. What about you?
I am half full with two concerns that are specifically my personal issues. Number one, it'd be tough to go a year without pay. Are we getting paid for this thing? Number one.
Mm.
And number two,
I don't handle health insurance.
You know, right? Yeah, I mean, totally, right? All those things that come with your employment, you know, you kind of need them. Paycheck, health insurance, benefits, all that jazz. Number two, I don't handle idleness well. And so I would have to like program myself, you know, a couple of days off here and there doing nothing and, you know, burying my feet in the sand is fine. But I'd have to like do stuff. I'd have to like travel or have a plan or something. And I suspect a lot of people are probably a little bit like that, you know?
Yeah, it's sort of you fantasize about time off, but then like you get stir crazy. You hear this from a lot of people who retire and they're like, oh, I can't wait to retire. And then they're just like, and I have to get out of the house.
Absolutely. 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 Yeah, totally. Yeah. All right. Well, all so right. there
what
you go.
Were
the
poll results.
Poll on adult gap years, half full, 83% of you, half empty, 16%. Not at all surprising. There was a lot of comment on this in the chat. It's a great idea. The execution, I think, would be challenging for me and other people, I think, with some specific problems. But what a great idea if we could figure out a way to do that.
Especially if you have kids. Is it really a gap year if you still have to deal with like child care or elder care or something like that?
Totally.
All right.
All right, so that is it for us on this Friday. Questions, comments, or thoughts, critiques, take your pick, just be gentle. You know how to get a hold of us. Voicemail is 508-UB-SMART, UBSMART, or email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org.
Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergseeker. Today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe, and our intern is Talia Menchaca.
The team behind our Friday game is Ellen McCune and Antoinette Brock. Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcast. Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital and on demand.
Enjoy the cherry blossom decorations. They're coming down this weekend. Last of the cherry blossoms in D.C. are falling away, so shall the cherry blossom decorations.
And they'll be back. But you guys are getting like 250 new trees. I saw that.
Yes, we are getting new trees.
Right?
That's exciting.
For the ones that are being replaced by the construction project? Yeah, so that'll be all right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
all over the country.
We need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.